The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Welcome to the Well Hung Podcast, where we reach into the well of life and bring you the gems of the week, from news to pop culture. Now, here are your hosts, Diana and Nate.
Hi, Diana.
Hey, Nate. What's up, everyone else?
Episode number 6 of the Well Hung Podcast.
Hell yeah, even numbers.
6 weeks. You know, if you would have broken a bone when this show started, it would be almost time for your cast to come off.
That is a monumental time. That's a monumental moment. I feel like we should celebrate. And I know who you guys can celebrate.
How's that?
By shopping on Amazon through the Nate Darling, the link on the NateDarlingShow.com.
It's just NateDarlingShow.com. Nate Darling,
yeah, there you go. Go through there. Go click on the Amazon tab. Shop through that. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Puts money into the shows, this show, Nate Darling Show, so we can still do it.
Yeah, here's the thing. 3 free shows a week, 3 free comedy shows a week. That's it. I mean, we're not asking for anything else, and the Amazon thing does not cost you anything extra. So, I mean, if you want to shop local, go ahead and shop local. We don't care. But if you're going to shop on Amazon, go ahead and do that, because it's simple, it's easy. It's so easy, my dad can do it, and my dad's an older gentleman.
And I can do it if I actually had the money to shop. And when I do, I will do it. So, I mean, yeah, that'd be cool if y'all do that. Just kind of putting that out there, because I've been getting comments that they didn't know that actually was an option. So mentioned that real quickly. But anything new with you, Nate? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I work in TV, and we have what they call sweeps months in February, May, and November, when we have big sweep stories. There's a lot of like investigative stories that. So it's a very intense time. So I'm just sort of coming down off of that. Actually, as we're hearing this, I will have just finished doing the, Donut Dash.
Oh, that was, shit, that's, you're supposed to remind me. I think you told me about that like months ago.
Yeah, it's March. It was March 8th, so it was a couple days ago. And really good cause, too, the Child Life Program at Sutter Hospital. And what they do is they provide things like toys for the kids in the hospital. Because the kids that are there, they're getting their medical treatment. But what they do is they come in and try and let the kids feel like kids, not like their patients. So it's kind of a cool thing. It's a fun event. It happens every March. So if you want to get more information on them, because you can donate anytime, it's donut-.org. And the guy who runs it is Zach, and he's a very cool dude. So good cause. Also in training for, I'm going down to Anaheim to run a 5K at Angel Stadium at the end of the month.
Wow. Sometimes when I talk to you, I just feel super fucking lazy. Like, I just started, like, I'm going to start insanity. Well, hold on. Yeah, today would be my first day of insanity.
Sure.
And then, you know, the whole yoga thing. I'm trying to get sexy before summer. But yeah, no, when I talk to you, I'm just like, fuck, man. Like, I need a jog or something. Like, I mentally just sit on the couch and, like, mentally run on the treadmill. Usually that's my workout for the day.
There you go. By the way, people have asked this about Amazon. They're like, do you know what we buy? The answer is yes and no. We know what gets bought, but we have no idea who bought it. So I have, for instance, this is going back to February. I know someone bought a retractable fast travel car charger adapter rapid car charging cable kit for Samsung Galaxy Note 3. But I don't know who it is.
But I will say this, if Nate tells me that someone buys a really kinky, weird sex toy or just something weird as fuck, I will ask.
And that actually happened before. In the early days of the Nate Darling Show, when we first started with Amazon, we had a listener, Eric from Portland, who was super gay, and he was a big fan of my friend Larry, who is also very, very gay and flamboyantly gay, very out. And he wanted to see if what we'd notice. And you can buy sex toys on Amazon, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you can buy shit. I mean, from what I hear, you can buy.
the one thing I will say about this is do it from home. I know a lot of you like to shop Amazon at work, and you're like, well, no one can see. If you're going to buy this at home, do not go on Amazon at work, because it will show you like things related to the last thing you looked at.
Oh, shit.
So,
really?
So if you do, because what Eric did was he bought a red butt plug and lube. Because, and then he emailed and said, hey, did anybody buy anything weird? And we're like, do you mean the red butt plug and lube? And he's like, oh, yeah, that was me. But if you look, if you browse on Amazon, if you've signed in, it'll carry over to wherever you sign in from. So you could be at work and all of a sudden somebody comes up behind you and you've been randomly shopping for, you know, like scrunchies for your hair. And there's like a lineup of big black dildos because you were doing that at home. So just a word to the wise.
I'm glad you put that out there. I think that's, yeah, I didn't know that either. I mean, I'm not having one of those moments of like, shit, I'm glad I found out now because I don't know how to shop online and don't have the money for it. But I know people that do that shit and they don't think, I think people forget about the history and shit too.
Well, and it's based on your sign in too. So it's not even that. I mean, you could have not looked at anything inappropriate at work at all, but because you were signed in and under that account, when you sign in under that account, it shows you like the last things you looked at. So like your history of stuff.
Well, how does Facebook work? Because does it work the same way? Because I was kind of, someone told me that it worked based on like your personal browsing history. And there's this one time I need new friends. And these fuckers know who the hell I'm talking about. So one night, my friends and I, we got really, really high at my place. I passed out and I trust these people, you know, to like either let themselves out or crash whatever they want to do because they're my close friends. I wake up to, well, this was nice of them. They left me a little bit of Chinese food, but I woke up to, what was the exact word? Big black beautiful woman or some type of fucking porn where I just had asses and weird fucking shit on my computer. And they did the, because it wasn't just one thing, it wasn't right. One window, it was multiple. Nice. So next time when I went to Facebook, it was like asking me like all these like dating shit, like, do you want to do that? I mean, I think dating is common, but there was a period on Facebook where I was kind of like, I think they asked me if I wanted to do like blackpeoplemeet.com or something like that.
Oh,
too.
There you go.
And it was I was wondering if that was related. So if you're going to search, I don't know. I feel like nothing's private anymore.
There is a little bit of crossover, but Amazon, they're just doing it because, hey, you shopped for this. You probably want something to go with it. They're just trying to accessorize.
They're trying to be nice and caring.
Accessorize your strap-on or whatever you've bought.
Make that shit sparkle. If I had a strap-on, I want that shit to be, like, shiny. I like shiny things.
So, like, stainless steel?
Would that be? I guess. I don't know. If I had a penis, I want a gold shiny, like a gold penis.
I don't know. Gold's kind of soft or metal.
It would
be a very expensive penis.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Like, I want to feel like a boss. Like, carry a chain off that shit or something. I don't know. This is why I'm not a man.
Yeah, it's,
I wouldn't know what to do with that. I'm like, can I decorate it? Like, what do
no,
I do?
No.
Spray
no, you
paint.
Can't. You can, but I think that's really something more that gay men do. I don't know any straight...
Would you ever get your... How would you get... guys get their penis pierced, right?
Yes, they do. Would I know? Not in a kabillion years for all the money in the world, no.
Like, I don't understand, like, why that would even be comfortable, because getting kicked in your balls hurts, right?
Yeah, so, well, your penis is different than your balls.
Isn't it, like, kind of, like, in the same vicinity?
Where, it is.
Like, when you get kicked in the balls, you're going to get that kick, too?
Yeah, but here's the fun part about this. The really sensitive part is the testicles. The penis itself can actually take quite a bit more punishment without it doesn't have the same sort of level of pain.
Unless you pigeonhole it or whatever.
You don't want a pigeonhole. You don't want a pigeonhole. And you can break a penis.
That
is a thing. It's not a good thing either. So
yeah, because it's essentially there's like tiny bones in it, but it's mostly you can break it. Like it's
no, there's no bones in it.
But
what it does?
There's not tiny bones.
No, it's no, there are no bones.
They're not tiny.
Human,
no,
there's no bones in a human penis.
I got an A in sex ed, by the way.
No wonder you went lesbian. My God.
Oh, wait, there's no bones? Oh, my God, I'm straight now. I'm straight. I'm okay. I just got weirded out because I didn't want to choke on any bones.
Like, right. You don't want to do that. Like a fish thing. It's like a little tiny fishbone going in there.
That's what I thought.
But yeah, I mean, as a guy, you could if you wanted to take your penis and like slap it up against the side of the refrigerator, and you'd be okay. But if you did that with your balls, you would then drop from pain.
Interesting.
It wouldn't feel great. It would feel like whacking. It would sort of feel like whacking your, not your finger, but like the soft part of your arm, like right near your elbow.
Oh, the funny bone?
Not the funny bone, but like the soft part just underneath
there. Oh, yeah.
So it would be a little, it's a little bit more sensitive, but not it's not like that. So.
I like how you knew which body part to compare it to. How much shit have you run into in your life, Nate?
I've run into a lot of stuff. I've run into a lot of things. So that's, I'm smart. I pretend to be. I know enough just to fool people into thinking I'm smart.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Ever on the topic of intelligence, what measures it? I mean, you have a college degree. I have a college degree. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak for myself, because I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm a dumbass.
Okay.
But I did pretty well. Like, I did decent on the SATs. By Asian standards, I did horribly. But by, like, everyone else's standards, I did well enough. But I read this article about this lady, an adult, and she just went back to take the SAT just to like kind of see what's up with it. And that shit is like, she was having fucking anxiety attacks and stuff like that. And I don't remember, and some of my friends asked me to like to tutor them in certain things, and I'm like, okay, yeah, but I don't remember shit. Like, all that stuff that was so fucking important in high school I don't do any of that shit now.
Right.
Maybe add and subtract, but that was barely on the SAT.
And I took the SAT, and I'm old enough that they've changed the way they score it. So my SAT score would sound really fucking low now.
Was it out of 1600?
I don't remember exactly what it was. I just remember my score wasn't incredibly high. It was high enough to the point where I had no problem getting into any school that I wanted to go to, because I wasn't planning on going to like Harvard or Yale or schools like that. But it certainly wasn't. It was just under 1100 was what I scored on the SAT. And I know they've changed. I think the perfect score was 1500 or 1600 at that point.
I was going to say maybe 16, because I don't, I mean, you're older than me, but I don't think that much, because I'm trying to say like, I'm trying to think, because my year was the guinea pig year when they added the essay to it. And she talked about that in the article. She's like, what the fuck is this shit?
Right.
So our perfect score was out of 2400.
Okay.
But yeah, so the numbers are higher now and they're a little different. But yeah, my year was the guinea pig year. And so they kind of like prorated it in a sense.
Well, yeah, because I remember someone going, what'd you get on your SATs? And they're like, oh, I only got 1300. And I'm like, fuck, how dumb am I? And then I found out, oh, they changed it.
Okay. It was out of 20. Yeah, so no offense to whoever you heard that from, but that's not great.
I don't even remember who it was.
So we can't get a special shout out. They're probably listening like, this motherfucker's an asshole. But yeah, I just thought it was funny because like, I grew up very sheltered. In the sense, like, my life is, like, I had that track of a life where it's, like, you know, you go to high school, you graduate, you go to college, you get a good job after college. Like, it was that whole mentality. Like, that was...
Where did that break down for you?
That broke down for me in college. Okay. Where I was, like, fuck, and then I decided that I didn't want to be... I don't know. I didn't want to work behind a desk my whole life. And I never wanted to grow up. So that explains my lifestyle choices now and who I am. But I always thought that was interesting, because that to me, like, everyone measured their intelligence based on the SAT score. Like, if someone had a really good score, you're like, damn, that person's hella smart, and they will succeed in life based on, like, you know, if they want to do white collar, like capitalism and all that, you go to Yale, you're gonna get a better fucking job than someone who graduated from AR.
Yeah, but not necessarily. I mean,
the chances are higher, is what I mean.
You do, because what ends up happening, it's sort of like the cycle of, people like to say the cycle of poverty. I'm going to go to the other end. It's the cycle of success and achievement. When you go to a school like Harvard and Yale, you are a fraternity brother with someone from Harvard or Yale, and all of the graduates are from Harvard and Yale, and they've gotten these better jobs. So when they're looking to hire, where are they going to hire from? Oh, I know. I went to Harvard. I'm going to hire someone from Harvard. They're probably not going to pull in the person with the degree from SUNY Plattsburgh.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. And then also taking into account the people that can actually afford to go to the schools, regardless of how smart they are. But After I left college, actually just moving to San Francisco, I met a lot of different people. And, you know, I met some fucking smart ass people, and they never graduated high school, or they never, you know, they graduated high school, went to college, never went to college. Like, it just didn't interest them. And, but yeah, it's just interesting to me. Like, for me now, before, when I was younger, the SAT GPA, that was a measure of intelligence.
Right.
Now, like, I think that's all bullshit. Like, you can look up all the information online. You don't have, if you can, like, just name off random dates, but you don't, you can't think for yourself, like, that to me is just like useless. So I just like reading, just standardized testing in general kind of makes me sick, because it just perpetuates systems that I can't agree with.
Yes and no. I mean, what it does is it trains you to be able to hold on to vast amounts of information. Now, that specific information may not be useful to you, but as you move forward in a career, you are going to be constantly expanding your knowledge base of shit you have to know about a variety of things. And the more you can remember, because you've trained yourself to remember, the more successful you're going to be. So it does work, but not in exactly the way it's sort of designed to. It's sort of like the argument of, well, you shouldn't go to college because, well, you know, what are you taking all these liberal arts courses in college for when you really want to go and do this? And you go to college to learn how to adapt and deal with other things and learn new situations. I've changed jobs several times, and one of the reasons I've been able to do that is because I had to adapt and take different courses in school and overcome certain things that went along with that. And that's one of the things that I learned in college. Now, can you learn that on the street? You know, you get out and just go and get a job and go from job to job? Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think maybe I just don't agree with, I understand. Okay, when you explain it to me that way, I understand the purpose of it, and I can see that. I think the way they do it, and then the questions that they ask, I mean, it's so hard to even say anything, because, you know, what measures intelligence or what they want to test, you know, that's, I mean, the government plans that and they think this is the baseline or whatnot. But like the LSAT, I was trying to study for the LSAT because there was like a very, very, very short time where I wanted to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And the LSAT itself, like their testing is, it basically tests the way you think. It right. doesn't test what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a cool way to do it. But then the SAT is what you know. But then if you're, right. you're the way you explain, yeah, if it's vast information, you know, you carry that on with you, I guess. But, you know, some schools don't have the funding to teach, you know, to the curriculum. I mean, depending on, because I know public schools is funded based on like the surrounding neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's a poor neighborhood, they're not getting the right textbooks. They're not getting, you know, updated information like computers. Like, you know, some schools have computers on campus, others don't, and others have books that are from like the fucking 70s. Like, shit like that still happens. So for that to be such an emphasis, and also like the way she was describing the anxiety like she was having during the test and stuff and freaking out, like, shit, I had like fucking flash. I had like PTSD just reading that damn article.
Well, I mean, you've conditioned yourself to, oh, I'm a successful adult. I write for The New Yorker, so I'm obviously smart. I'm successful. All I can do, there's no upside to this test for her. None. Because the only thing that'll happen, the best thing, is that she'll take the test and do well and just reaffirm everything she already knew. So, best case scenario, she's exactly where she was. Everything else is a failure. It's a step back. And then you start to creep into that self-doubt. It's like, well, do I really deserve to be where I am? Am I really that smart? Did I fake it all the way through? And then when is someone going to realize that I don't know what I'm doing?
Well, it's like, are you smarter than a fifth grader? I thought that show was really funny. Like, all yeah. that fucking little trivia shit. That's basically what SAT is to me, is like a fucking trivia test.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that goes into it. But everything has a test, too. I mean, if you want to be a real estate agent, or not a real estate, but an insurance agent, because at one point I looked into that when I was in my 20s, and I was like, fuck, I'm not making any money. And they give you a test. And there's a bunch of things like, what would you rather be doing on a Friday night? And it's like multiple choice. And really all the test is are you willing to lie on a test and say that you would rather be discussing insurance options with a prospective client than sitting at home with your family? Because no one would really rather be talking to someone about their insurance needs than hanging out at home with their family. But if you're willing to lie on that test, then they move you along to the next step. If you're not willing to lie on that test to be a salesperson, then it's over. That's where the weed out process goes. It's like, oh, well, they're not even willing to lie here about it. How are they possibly going to sell anything?
That's such a good point. I never thought of it like that. See, this is basically, if you want to succeed in life, lie, be an asshole, say what people want to hear.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Well, here's the thing. If you really want to do something like that. Now, I'm just not wired to be in sales like that. Now, some people would argue, no, you are. You're good at talking. You're good at creating a rapport with people. There is a very special skill to doing sales.
Have you seen Wolf of Wall Street?
I have not seen that yet. But my uncle, who recently passed away, and he never even went to high school, but he was a great salesman. He could sell anything. And once he retired from farming, he worked in antiques and he sold antiques and he did pretty well doing that. And it was just, he was really good at that. That was wired into his personality. And he was very good at telling people what they wanted to hear and what they needed to hear. It's not necessarily lying. It's going, what does this person need to hear or want to hear in order for the next thing to happen? And if you're someone who is incredibly honest, and that, you know, I come from a background where it was, you need to be honest about everything. There's no lying. Lying is not tolerated. Don't be lying, which is how a lot of kids are brought up, because all kids are liars. So you got to try and get that out of them. So I'm not great at telling people what they need to hear in order to make something happen, because I know in the back of my mind, I'm sort of coercing them. So I don't like to do it. So I'm not good at it. See what I mean? In terms of like selling stuff. I mean,
so he's basically, single ladies out there, single straight ladies. He's a good guy. You're a catch.
No, I'm kind of a dick. Okay. And I will freely admit that I am kind of a dick. Listen, every guy can be kind of a dick. It's true. We all can. Ladies be crazy, men be dicks. That's just how the world rolls.
So if I'm both.
I know, it's
I'm like shit out of luck.
It's
right?
A lot to carry around for you, honestly.
Oh, that's like, I guess we'll go into Bitches Preach then, kind of.
Yeah, let's.
I feel like now Bitches Preach has turned into like, I have questions and I just want to ask Nate. Because like, I heard my friend and I got into this discussion the other day of like how to get girls. So the Bitches Preach would have been like, if you want to get asked, like, play it cool, kind of like, you know, be nonchalant about things, and that girls find that attractive. Like, if you're an asshole, like my friend told me the story of like how this girl came up to her and was like, hi, and said their name, and her response was like, who the fuck are you? And walked away. Like, and then the girl was like hooked. I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, and I've got that experience with me, like, where like people didn't really know me and they found me attractive, and then I try to be nice just to like, because I feel like I'm a nice person. I like try to treat people as I would like to be treated. And all of a sudden, I'm nice and they lose interest. I'm like, this is not working in my favor at all.
Okay.
And I don't know. Like, is that whole, like, asshole thing, like, a real thing? Like, what is that from your experience? Like, you know, because I don't like it when people are, like, mean to me. But I do like the mystery, though. That's part of me being a female, I guess, where I do like the mystery of, like, you know, you feel, I guess, any attention is good attention to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it.
Hard to get, that whole concept of like, oh, you want to play hard to get, and it gets, and then those are the same girls that are like, I don't like games. Well, bitch, I didn't play a game, and all of a sudden, you're not interested.
Well, I think you touched on it a little bit when you said women tend to like a little bit of mystery with stuff.
I mean, guys do too, right?
Yes, but the mystery we want is what you did to look the way you look right now. we don't need to know how the sausage is made, so to speak. you know, and I don't need the full breakdown. And listen, I don't care. I prefer women who don't necessarily wear very much makeup. It's not that
I think that's... Although Drake said it perfectly for me, personally. What do you say? Hair tied, chilling with no makeup on. That's when you're the prettiest. I hope you don't take it wrong. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't think I would be comfortable with someone who felt like they had to do a 45-minute makeup job so that we could just run to Target to pick something up. I get it. If you're going out for a big night on the town, I get it. You want to look so that you feel confident and your best. I get that. I completely get that. But I think the thing about, for me, confidence is a very sexy thing. The confidence that you're not constantly worried, at least outwardly, how do I look? Do I look okay? Is everything all right with this? Is everything okay with this? It just gets very tiring. And like the worst question is, does my butt look big in these jeans? Okay, what am I supposed to say?
If someone told me no, I would change my jeans to make my ass. This is the best thing. I'm going to give my secret away. Ray won these hot pink tights and a butt lifter. And okay. I will be wearing that one day.
To the show?
To a show. Oh. So you're going to just have to come to every fucking show.
Oh, to a comedy show.
A show where I'm going on stage.
Oh, okay.
So that's a shameless. Oh, speaking of which, I can do this because it's my fucking show.
Right.
March 6th, I will be at Laughs Unlimited.
By the way, this show is going to be on after that.
Oh, son of a bitch. I have another one after shit. I have other shit coming up. Just follow me on Facebook so I don't have to be a little bitch and look on my phone right now.
Yeah.
But follow me on Facebook. I have hella shows coming up in March. I'm actually, I don't want to jinx it, but okay. I'm pretty sure it's official because I've already asked some comics to do this. But I'm putting on a show April 23rd. It's a Wednesday. A Sacramento Punchline.
Okay.
It's called the Nines and Tens. It's basically an LGBTQ, I think I got all the letters, showcase. So I have a couple comics from SAC. I have a couple comics coming up from the Bay, and a drag queen host.
Okay.
Great fucking time. That's all I'm going to say. So keep an eye out for that. But also, we're going to go back to, yeah, I don't know, confidence. We're going off of confidence. Yeah, I think that's true.
And I think that goes with everybody. And so I don't think it's necessarily that women like assholes.
Assholes just tend to be the more confident ones.
They're more confident. Because if you're carrying yourself like that, you're like, I don't care what anybody thinks, so I'm gonna be like this because I don't care. And oftentimes, I'm gonna say guys, and I know in your case it's girls who are looking to hook up with girls who are being nice. Sometimes that's sort of looked upon as weakness, especially in less mature people. Because once you get a little bit older and a little bit more mature, you understand that being nice is not a sign of weakness, necessarily.
Okay, I was going to say, do I really have to change the way that I... Because you know what? Okay, I'm going to just put this out there right now then, okay. Too. Fuck it. If I like you, I'm being a fucking dick. That means that's how I'm going to show. We're going to go back to second grade where if, you know, how back in the day where they're like, yeah, if a boy likes you,
you're going to pull some ponytails?
Yes. If I like, if I pulled your ponytail, that means I like you. Or if I stabbed you with a pencil.
Wow.
That means I really like you and I want to have your baby.
Look out, ladies.
I'm going to carry a fucking pencil around now and do that. No, I thought it was really interesting. And then you brought up the point with the confidence. That makes sense. Maybe that'd be the bitches. Just fucking be confident. Don't be apologetic and that, I don't know, I feel like that's a winner, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Know Maybe? I think know yourself, be yourself, and don't doubt yourself. Doubt yourself when you're by yourself. That's when you should do it.
Okay. I can dig that.
Once you're in a relationship, you can go ahead and doubt yourself all you want.
Yeah, kind of have to like reel it in, like with people?
Yeah, because at that point, then you can sort of let that down and go, I'm going to now let you in and show you that I am vulnerable. There is a vulnerable side to me. It's not just all confident all the time. Because look, anybody who's confident all the time is lying. Lying. or a sociopath, one or the other.
Yeah, so yeah, don't do that. Okay, so I got, okay. So, I mean, I was trying to explain this to her because I signed up for OKCupid. I'd never checked this shit.
Sure.
But I realized, like, I don't get any, and I know it's because I don't look great on paper because I don't know how to be, like, project myself as super confident out on paper, on the website or what it may be. But, like, I can kind of see that now. And then I think, yeah, I'm obviously sounding super confident. I think this podcast just fucking cock-blocked me for a while.
But well.
I'm a nice person.
Just looking for love.
Just, you know, isn't there like a song or something?
Well, there's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Maybe that's, oh yeah, I've also been, I'm not allowed to pick the next person I date. My friends have to pick for
me.
Oh,
wow.
Apparently my track record has been so good that I have been banned from making my own decisions.
So your life has become one of those weird reality shows?
Oh my God, except for there's like no contestants fighting over my love.
It's like Rock of Love, but no one's crying on a speed bump.
And no one wants this.
By the way, that's one of my favorite moments ever in reality TV. It was, I believe, the third season of Rock of Love when Bret Michaels had to tour, but they still wanted to do the show. So they loaded all of...
Oh, that's right!
They loaded them all into a tour bus to follow him around on tour. And at one of the stops, one of the girls had just, I'm guessing, over booze, over tired, over emotional, too many miles. I believe her name was Brandy because they were all named Brandy. Some
really
with an I,
were.
Some with a Y, some with an EE. She was literally lying on a speed bump in a parking lot crying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That totally sounds about right.
It's a horrible thing to laugh at, but it was really funny, especially when they were like, is that Brandy lying on a speed bump crying? It's a phrase you just never think you're going to hear.
It's kind of, man, you know, when I was younger, though. By younger, I mean like 5 years younger.
Sure.
I've always wanted to, like, I was like, dude, that'd be so cool. Like,
to lay on a speed bump and cry? What are you talking about?
No, to like have all these people, like, obviously this is the only child in me coming out. I don't really want this in my life, but I thought it was kind of a cool concept where like all these people want you, even if it's for the wrong reasons. It's kind of fucking entertaining.
Yeah.
To like have people cry on a speed bump. For you, like, that shit is just like, or do stupid challenges for you and they all like ooh and all over you. Oh my God, I was such an only child.
I was an only child too.
I never got that. I think that's why I want it now.
Yeah, it happens. But I think that's a good place to leave the show. Crying on a speed bump in a parking lot.
Yes.
So that's going to do it for this episode of the Well Hong Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for shopping Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. We do appreciate it. May good things happen to you and everyone around you. New Nate Darling Show is Wednesday and Friday right here, wherever you're getting it from, on your phone, your internet, iTunes, Stitcher, mobile app.
Whatever it takes for you guys to listen.
Same place. If you're listening now, you've found it.
Yep, there you go. Props. It's and like, pass it on to your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends, hey, there's this show.
Yeah.
Multiple shows, and they're free.
And they're funny.
Yeah, unlike a lot of these shows that you got to pay for. You got to leave your house. You never have to leave your house. We're coming right into your house.
In a non-creepy way.
We know where you live, and we're coming for you.
That was kind of creepy, and
bit.
I liked it.
Okay.
Hope you like it, too.
Because it was confident. It was delivered in a confident way.
The theme of the fucking day. Confidence that will get you everywhere and anywhere you want to be, and but also keep the sensitive side. That's how you keep the bitches. You reel them in, and then you. I shouldn't say bitches anymore.
No, you should not.
No, I should not. I'm goddamn. This is the biggest cock block ever.
I will say this: confidence and then showing your soft side. That's George W. Bush to a T because he was very confident. He was elected president twice, and then he started painting self-portraits of him in the bathtub. That's the sensitive
side. Are you fucking serious?
Dead serious.
Oh my God. Yay, America. Yay, fucking America.
That's it. So we'll see you again next week for another Well Hung podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.